Tonight is Monday night, January 29th, or 14th day of the month of Shvat. This is the Gemara Shir. We're up to Moed Katan, Daf Tes Vav Amud Aleph.
We're up to Daf Tes Vav Amud Aleph, third line from the top. What the pattern of the Gemara is to take various aspects of Avelus and see whether or not they also apply to a Menuda and a Metzora. That's the basic pattern. However, the first halacha that we'll discuss today is unique to a Menuda, somebody who has been placed in Nidui, and has nothing to do with Sarahas or a regular oven. So the Gemara says, Menuda Shemes, Bezdin Soklin Es Arono. If somebody who has been placed in Nidui dies, he's been put in Cherem, and he dies, having not been released from his Cherem, because he refused to listen to whatever Bezdin told him to do, so what they're supposed to do is soklin es arono. You stone his aron. What exactly does that mean? Rabbi Yehuda Omer, lo shiya amidu alav gal avanim ki galo shel achan. It doesn't mean that you shall place upon his aron a huge mound of rocks, as was the case of Achan, as it is described in Sefer Yehoshua, that when Yehoshua captured Jericho, he made an announcement that nobody was permitted to benefit from the booty of the war. And anybody who would be placed into Cherem. And that's exactly what Achan did. Achan benefited from the shalal of the melchama, and he died while having still been in Nidui, and in order to highlight that, they placed a mound of stones on his aron. Here, that's not what happens. Ella bezdin sholchin umanichin Evan Gidola al Arono. They place one big stone on his coffin. Lalamdacha shekol hamisnade umeis beniduyav. Anybody who is put into Cherem and dies while he is in Cherem, Bezdin soklin es Arono. The Bezdin stones their Aron. That's what the Gemara says. Now, the Gemara doesn't tell us what is the reason for doing any of this. Why are you supposed to be sokel the aron of somebody placed in Nidui? So there are a variety of explanations. So take the handout for a minute, and we will start with the Ritva. The Ritva writes, Lelamdecha, citing the Gemara, Shekol Shinisnade, anybody who's been placed into Nidui, Umeis Beniduyav, Bezdin Soklin Es Arono. Perush, Kidei Livazoso, in order to humiliate him and embarrass him, Lefisha Zilzel Benidui Chachamim, because he did not take seriously, he ridiculed the fact that the Chachamim placed him into Nidui because he did X, Y, and Z. And he apparently said, I couldn't care less that you put me into Nidui. And since he was Mizalzel, the actual Nidui of the Chachamim, therefore we are going to be Mizalzel in his kever. And that's what it means, Soklin Es Arono. Vidas Haga'inim Zal, Dehu Adin, we're going to see this as well in many sources, She'ain mis'ablin alav, there is no avelus for this person. V'lo korin, there is no kriya, none of the relatives rip kriya. Avol omdin b'shura, you do make a shura at the end of the burial. You make two lines and then the avelim walk through. V'ein monim kvod hachayim. And we do not preclude any kavod that is done on behalf of the living, the avelim. It's only we deny kvod hames. So therefore, this ritva will support the opinion. There is a debate in the Gemara, later on we'll learn it, whether Hesped is Yukro de Chayim or Yukro de Mason. What's the function of a Hesped? Is it a tribute for the deceased or a tribute for those who are living? So here the Ritva doesn't say anything about whether there are Hespedim, but many interpret the Ritva that once he says a Misablin V'ein Korin, that there would be no Hesped either. On the other hand, since he says a Monim Kvod HaChayim, and there is a possibility that Hesped is not related to the deceased, but rather to the surviving relatives, that there would be a Hesped for this person, despite the fact that there is no Avelus. And there are people today for whom this particular halacha applies as well. Rabbi Schechter once gave a whole shiur about someone who was cremated. And so he said, you're not Miss Abel, no Shiva, no Kriya, no Hesped, because he's denying Tchiyas HaMeisim by engaging in going to the length to so in that case he said all three, no Hesped, no Kriya, no Avelus.
When he says no Avelus, so someone's gone with their parent is this person, so they don't do Yud Beis Kodesh,
you don't do anything. No Shiva, no Shloshim, no Yud Beis Kodesh,
and all the halachas that go with it.
That's correct.
Isn't that hurtful to the
Chaim
that they're...
Yeah, it is. Of course it's hurtful. But, the person did something and they want to make a point that what that person did was totally, inappropriate.
And I shouldn't assume, but the person Rav Schechter was speaking about, someone who did lahachas, not someone who's ignorant.
That's correct, yeah. I mean, somebody who said, I want to be cremated.
Despite knowing what
that is.
Yeah. Yes.
What does Ritva mean by Zilzil Chachamim? He was in Cherem. He died.
I know. But he didn't do anything to get him out of Nidui. So he couldn't care less that they put him into Cherem. In that respect, he was Mezalzel B'Nidui Chachamim.
Didn't we say there was a minimum, was it 30 days?
30 days. Yeah.
So, day 16, he dies.
Well, he could have corrected it to day number one. Just done whatever reason was for the nidui, he could have taken care of it. That's all. Could have taken care of it.
The process of stay shuro. So nowadays we line up, they walk through, we say amakom.
Correct.
Is there any other element of the process that they...
None. No. Yeah. And in fact, there are other Rishonim who object to the to this psak of the Ritva. Normally, what do we do when you walk through the shura? You're menachem avin. But if there's no avelus, what's there to be menachem? When there's no avelus, ein misablin. So if ein misablin, why are you going to have go rely on the shura? The purpose of the shura is to be menachem avel b'tzibur, with the whole community. that collectively everybody's giving him enough. But if you're not sitting shiva, if there's no avelus, why would you say hamakom yinachem if there's no avelus?
Did you say before what sokel in the Arono literally means?
To stone the Arono. So Rabbi Yehuda commented, he said it doesn't mean to stone, it means just put a big stone.
And then what's the second bar elevation of Mandi and they said no?
What?
So the second opinion is that's what that is, the second elevation? And the bride's end of the bride's time?
No.
That's him talking the whole thing.
That's him talking. Okay. Yeah. Okay. But the Ritva continues. Ukishemes Rabbi Eliezer Omru Hutar Haneder. Rabbi Eliezer, as you well know, this is Rabbi Eliezer HaGadol, was placed into Cheru because he did not want to accept the Psak Halacha in that famous case in Maseches Bava Metzia, what's called the Tanur Shel Achnai, about this oven, whether or not it's Metame or not. So he was put into Cherem, despite the fact that Min HaShemayim, they agreed with him. So everybody knows that when he was in Cherem, they treated it like a real Cherem. And it was... Nobody spoke to him. His Talmidim could not come to him to learn. But when he died, many say, the Gemara says, that the Neder, Hutar HaNeder, that they released him from the Cherem, Lomar Shi Yispiduhu. Why did they take him out of Cherem? Because they didn't want to ignore everything that he had accomplished before he went into Cherem. It was Rabbi Eliezer. He was one of the great Tanoim. And therefore, V'yikru Allah, they should rip Kriya Kedino. V'lo yin hagubo Kedin Menuda Shemetz. And they did not treat him like a Menuda Shemetz.
It seems to indicate that without that, they would not have been masked.
That's correct. That is correct. It would certainly indicate that they were... That is correct. That they would not have masked him. Had they not released the neder. Now, this could be somewhat problematic. A lot of people don't mind being treated in a particular fashion, as long as you're treated like everybody else. People, one of their pet peeves, especially kids, is if you play favorites. So this looks like very much playing favorites. This is one of your own rabbanim. You're the ones who create the cherem. You're the ones who put somebody at the cherem. Oh, but if he's your colleague, he's getting out of cherem when he dies. It's a little troubling. It is a little troubling. I can hear it. But nonetheless, the Ritva reminds us of that. And then he says something else, which again is not subject to everybody. V'ein dvarim elu ela b'menuda le'af kirusa. This, all of these halachas only apply for someone who has been put into nidui because afkarusa means hefker, means he treated the decision or the edict of Besdin like it's worthless. It's hefker, severed gonish, it's nothing worth anything. Avalim mamona. Kevon Shemes Potter Migzeirasam Ligamre Velo Soklin Arono. That if somebody is put into Cherem because he owes money, then the Misa is Mechaper. Like Misa is Mechaper for all other Chatoim that you do, is Misa is Mechaper. So therefore, if it's money based Cherem, so he receives atonement. Velo soklin al arono. They do not put the stone on his coffin, on his aron. Umaspidin lo kira uiloi, and they offer a hesped as is appropriate. V'chein kasav harambanzal, and that's what the Ramban also says. V'im ha'avel hu haminuda, if the avel is in cherem, monin mimenu kvoid hachayim. Avolok for a mason. So whatever is due the deceased, you do. But whatever is due the avel, you don't do. So, you know, you might not come to be Menachem Avel, but you'll do everything else. You'll give a hesped, you'll rip kriya, you know, and they will not put, obviously they will not put any stones on the aron, because the person who died was a perfectly good person. Here in this last case, it's talking about that the person who is the avel is now in nidui, so there can be nobody coming to be Menachem Avel. So that's what it means. Monin lo kvod hachayim. Yes.
Why is hefker the opposite of mamo?
Because a mamo, the hefker is not a real halach in the Torah. No place does the Torah say that you're supposed to put somebody in chayrim who doesn't listen to a takanas chachamim. But when if the Beis Din put you into chayrim because of a financial issue, let's assume you went ahead and you destroyed some property, and Beis Din made it a financial assessment. That's a halacha that you have to pay that money. So once you're being punished by dying, the death is mechaper for that avera as well. Hence, there's no need to continue the nidui at that particular time. That particular time.
That word is afikursa. I mean, what's the word?
Afkirusa, hefker. Where you're being put into chayrim because you treat the Beis Din like not something not very serious. Yeah. Good. That's one opinion in the name of the Holy Ritva. Go to page number 2. And this is the Ran, and he writes, Ela Beis Din, line 2, Beis Din Sholchin Umarichin Evin Achas, Perush, Debahachi Sagi Lezecher Ba'alma. What does this mean? That it's enough to put one rock, and that will now somehow remind everybody that perhaps they should have been stoning his Aron. I have no idea in the world where in the world they got this halacha that you have to go ahead after a person dies, that you have to do something to highlight that this guy who's dead is now was still in nidur. I don't know the source of this particular halacha. Okay, he doesn't know where the braisa got it from. Well, where does it come from? They just made it up. The Braisa just made up this halacha. What's the origin? What's the basis? Yeah, so the says
bones,
the Ran.
Like the bones of Yehuda were shaking in nidoy, right? Until they were because he had the he put himself in nidoy after for Yosef, right? The Binyamin.
Yes.
So after death, he was still felt that the Rashi that he was still in, he still felt he was in nidoy. His bones were shaking in the Aron.
But he came through.
But doesn't it say that his bones were still shaking because he put himself in nidoy even after death?
I could be. I don't remember. I don't know. Maybe. Very possible.
How does this relate to the minhag that we have now that one puts a stone when they come visit a grave?
Not at all. This has nothing to do with it.
Obviously, but it seems kind of
ironic. I know. Because
this is a big stone.
It's a very big stone. It's actually a little. It's you have to look very hard to find
a source.
Why do we a source for putting up a stone? All you need is a little marker in order to highlight, just for the purpose of a kohen, not to trespass of that area.
About matzeva, yeah. Not by the custom we put stones on the matzeva.
Oh, that I have no idea.
Right, that seems kind of ironic. That you know.
Yeah.
From gold, yeah. Said it's from Evan is Abu Ben.
Okay, cute little drash. Okay. Okay. Better than anything I got.
That only works with the Av.
It means parent and child. So
people do it to any.
I know. Anytime you go to a cemetery, a lot of people do. Yeah. Yeah. That's so. The Ran just says, I don't know where this comes from. First of all, one of the things that is a little interesting is that they keep using the word Soklin is Arono. If you know. In Eretz Yisrael today, nobody uses an Aron. They carry the deceased in the shrouds, and that's how they carry it, on a little cot. But there's no Aron whatsoever, and it's somehow, for people who see it the first time, it's a little it's a little disconcerting.
They build the walls around. They put the,
right.
The,
yes. The but you see it, and it's not very deep
it's
either.
Not very deep.
It's not deep, and they just you see the person just wrapped in the tachrichin or the talus, and yeah.
They use the aron in Babel, maybe.
I'm not sure. I don't know. Don't know. And even here, the only reason why we bury it with an aron is because it's state law. That's the only reason. Not because the, how anybody in America came up with a psak halacha that you have to have an aron.
What they do in Europe.
But what they do, that's a good question. That would be a very good, I don't know.
Do you ever do Hasidic funeral nowadays and you see what they do?
Oh yeah, they just slip out the bottom, yeah. 100%. Because they want to be buried on the ground, not in a box. Yeah. Sure. I've seen that many times. Then you have, on page number 3, you have the Rambam, who has a totally different understanding of this. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Talmud Torah, in Halacha Perek Zayin, Halacha Dalet, Mahu Haminok Shiyinok Haminuda Be'atzma Ushino Agenimo. What is the appropriate way for somebody who is in Cheirim? And how should people relate to the person placed in Cheirim? Minuda osur lisaper ulechabes ke'ovel kol yeniduyav. An ovel, someone in Cheirim is not permitted to take a haircut or launder his clothing exactly like an ovel. That's what that was the last share right before the break. Ve'ein mizamnin olav. He's not permitted to eat together with you, and therefore, the way you demonstrate that is that if he's the third person there, there's no zimun. There's no zimun. Velo kolin also ba'asara l'chol davar shetzarech asara. Anything that needs a minion, he cannot be the one to create any one of the ten. Velo yoshvin imo ba'arba amos. You're not permitted to sit within dalet amos of him. But if he is a Talmud Chacham, he is permitted to what? To teach you. Vishonin lo, and you are permitted to teach him. Viniskar visoche, and he can be hired, or he can be the one hired, or he can hire somebody to teach him. Vimeis benidui, if he dies while he's still a nidui. Besdin sholchanu manichen evin al arono kilomar shehein rogmin oso, they stone him lefi shehu muvdal min hatzibur. The stoning is a what is a symbol that the person is what has taken himself out of the what of the cloud. Because often when the Torah describes putting somebody to death, especially with Kares and Skila, what is the expression does the Torah use? V'nichrisa ha-nefesh ha-hi me'amav. So this person is muvdal, and that's the kiyum. It's a kiyum in keeping him separate. V'ein tzorech loymar she'ein maspinin oso. I don't have to tell you. It's certain that you don't say a hesped. Ve'ein milavin esmitaso. Nobody escorts him to the cemetery. There's no levaya, which means escort. There is none whatsoever. So the Rambam believes that this is a din. The reason why he put the stone on is halacha in skila. And in fact, many cite a pasuk at the very end of Parshas Kedoshim to tell us that the halacha of skila can take place with one stone. Because by the Ov and Yidoni, at the end of Kedoshim, the Torah says, V'rogmu oso oven. Oven, one stone. It doesn't mean it al pipshat, that you're only supposed to throw one stone at him. But The Rambam here takes it seriously as the basis for Rabbi Yehuda's statement that you're supposed to put one stone on top of his aron, and that halachically now constitutes a skila. But the question is, where did the Rambam see, and this would be where did the Rambam see that there's a halach of skila in relation to somebody who's put into nidui and he dies b'niduyav? I can understand you want to have a reminder, a zecher, to tell you that this person died while he was still in nidui. I can understand that. But to say that this is a halach in skila, why would there be an obligation to put somebody in skila, to implement the punishment of skila for somebody who dies beniduyav? Normally we have a list of things for which there's skila. So Shabbos, Avodah Zarah, things like that, there's a skila. Here, like, there's a new category. Somebody dies beniduy, is chayiv skila. I don't really understand why. But that's what the Rambam says. It's to demonstrate that he's muvdal min hatzibur, cut off, separated from the tzibur.
You could bury him anywhere, though?
What?
You could bury them anywhere, or it has to be...
It doesn't say anything that he has to be... There's a separate place in the cemetery for him. He could be buried any place. And then the last explanation is... this is where the Rambam got it from, is the Masechet Smachos. In Halacha Yigimel, Menduda Shemeis, Hareze Ton Skila. I don't know why. Lo Shia Amidu Alav Dala Vanim Kigadol Kishel Achan, El Shliach Bezdin, No Tilasa Evan, Venosna Alarono, Kide Lekayim Bo Mitzvah Skila. Can't get it more explicit than that. To be mitayim the mitzvah of skila. What's the basis of that?
Is this the Talmud Bavli, or
this is Masechtas Smachot. It's found in Talmud Bavli, right after Masechtas Avodah Zarah.
You usually see Halacha Aleph and Beis in Bavli, right?
Yeah. No, this is, I know. But in all of the Masechtas Ketanos, that's the way it's done, with Halachas Aleph and Beis, more akin to the style of the Yerushalmi. But Masechtas, we have them in Talmud Bavli also, all the Masechtas Ketanos. It's printed in the Bichas Gemara right at the Avodah Zarah. You have Midos and not Midos. You have Smachot and what else do you have there? Derech Eretz, Masechtas Derech Eretz, Derech Eretz Rabba, Derech Eretz Zuta. There are a couple of Masechtas Ketanos. But the Masechtas Smachot says that it today lekayim bo mitzvah skila. I don't quite have a handle on it.
It doesn't say the name of who the statement is made. It just says it.
That is correct.
And it's also edited by Rabin or Ravash, like the rest of.
I'm not sure. I don't know. Got to ask historians about that.
It seems that I'll just say that
Yeah.
Why is it all of a sudden bother Rishonim that this brisa makes up something? I mean, there are a lot of brisas that say things that have no source.
It's a much later brisa. The Masechtas Ketanos, like Sofrim, according to most historians, are 6th century. 6th or 7th, so it's way after the Talmud Bavli. It's after the Chasimus HaTalmud. But it's treated to some extent like almost like a brisa, but it was not written be made at the time of the Tanaim, according to most historians.
Why is this halacha so bothersome to the Rishonim? Many brises come up with things that...
No, but they'll find a link to something in Torah Shabbat, like most areas of Torah Shabbat.
But this is, but Aram calls Rabbi Yehuda, so that's early, that's in the Tana.
Yeah, but that's that you pace it for a stone, but it's not a din skila. Rabbi Yehuda didn't say that you're supposed to be rogame also. Yeah. Now, the Beis Yosef in Yoredeya, I don't have it on the sheet. Do I? No, I don't think so.
Seven?
Number seven. No, that's a different Beis Yosef.
Okay.
That was the one about, that's about the next topic. But the Beis Yosef in Siman Shin Lamed Daled cites a Ramban that that which our Gemara says, Ein Korin, it's only others are not Korea Lichvodo. But the Avelim themselves are Chayiv and Kriya. That's what the Ramban says, quoted by the Beis Yosef. What do I mean that
others?
Okay, so if it's a case of something like Rabbi Eliezer, the halacha is that when the Nasi dies, everybody in Klal Yisrael has to rip Kriya. When your Rebbe dies, you're supposed to rip Kriya. You have to rip Kriya. It's quoted in Shulchan Aruch. In fact, it was a whole thing when the Rav passed away. It was Chol Hamoed Pesach. So normally you don't rip. The only ones who rip on Chol Hamoed are the real Avelim. Rav Aaron was a son-in-law, but he wanted to rip mitzad that the Rav was his Rebbe. See, he went to ask Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach what he should do, and Rav Shlomo Zalman told him that he should rip. Because he was his Rebbe Muvhak, but it's one thing about Rav Aaron. I'm sure he knew a halacha also, but for himself, he never used to paskin halacha for himself. He always used to go to Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach. So there is a halacha that if your Rebbe, there are situations, the Nasi, the Abezdin, Kain Gadol, the Melech, if he was a decent fellow. And your Rebbe, that's Acherim. So the Ramban says that when the Gemara says, Ein Korin, it's not the Avelim themselves, that's everybody else is Ein Korin. But the Avelim themselves should be Korea.
So according to those disagreements, do we believe...
And the what does he gain by doing this? He answers the question of why we have a shura. Why do we have the shura, and if there are no nihuge avelus whatsoever by the avelim, what are you going to have? So the Ramban is saying that the gavra is an avel. The sons of the person placed in Tenidoi, the gavra is an avel. But what don't we do? We don't have nihuge avelus. We don't engage in sitting shiva and things like that. But the gavra is an avel. And then to demonstrate that, what do? You rip kriya. So now when they walk by, you can say it makes sense to have a shura and be menachem. And that's what the Ramban says, the imlokein lama ba'i shura. If there's no demonstration whatsoever, what do you need a shura for? However, one of the Talmidim of the Rashba wrote against the Ramban and said, when the Gemara says ain't Korin lo, it means nobody is Korea. Don't accept the Ramban's distinction between the Ovel themselves and that the word ain't Korin only applies to Acherim. That's a Talmud of the Rashba disagreeing with the Ramban himself.
That's another example of the Rabbanim being Mafkia Din Daraisa to protect the Din Darabanan.
It's a very good question. Assuming that the first day of Avelus is the Oraisa, where do they get the right to tell an Avel not to sit Shiva? For the first day at least. According to others, the Rif who says that it's all 7 days. It's a good question. I don't know. I didn't think, and that's a very good question.
Is the Kriya also, what elements? It's the sitting of the Shiva, it's the Kriya?
Those are all things, yeah.
That would be the
Kriya we learn directly from Elazar and Isamar. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu told them, Bigdeichem altif romu. So Chazal understand, everybody else has to rip their garment. That's part of Avelus. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Om again, Vaita Gemara. Vaita Gemara. Says the Gemara. Ovel chayav be'atifas harosh. An ovel has to cover his entire head. An ovel is chayav be'atifas harosh, to cover his head. And basically the only thing that would be visible are your two eyes and your mouth to enable you to breathe and to see in front of you. You shouldn't get run over by anybody. How do I know? Midka'omale rachmana liyecheskel velo sa'ate al safam. Do not cover your what? Your mustache. Your mustache. Don't cover it. Apparently, everybody else is supposed to do so. We use this halacha, this pasuk of Yecheskel, I'll show it to you in a second. The case is talking about that Yecheskel's wife was dying. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you took that opportunity when his wife died to let Am Yisrael know that they are going to be lots, there are going to be lots of what? Of Avelim in Klal Yisrael, because you don't listen to me. There's going to be a tremendous Chorban, and you're going to have to practice all of the laws that I'm telling Yecheskel not to do. You're going to have to do all of these things. So take a look at page number 5 for a minute. So you have the critical component in this. This is chapter 24 of Yecheskel. And again, one thing about Yecheskel, for some reason, he is called a Ben Adam. Throughout Yecheskel, Ben Adam. I don't know why. If you study Yecheskel, I'm sure you'll find out why. But look in Pasuk Beis, Ben Adam, Sob Lecha, Sashem, Tzvi HaKadosh Baruch Hu called him. Hey kid, Ben Adam. Hey mister. Fine. So there it says, in Pasuk Tet Zayin, Ben Adam, Hineni lokeach mimcha et machmad einecha. The precious one in your eyes, namely your wife, I'm taking her away from you. Bimagefa. Velo tispod, you should not have a hesped. Velo tivke, I don't want you to cry. Velo tavo dimasecha. No tears, nothing. Hey onek dom mesim. Just remain silent. Dom is silence. Just remain silent. Avolota ase peercha. Avolota avel lota ase. I don't want you to mourn. Peercha your tefillin, which are called peer chavosh alecha, should be on you. We learn from this, we'll see a little later, that in Avel, the first day of Avelus, does not wear tefillin. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling Yecheskel to wear his tefillin. Une olecha tasim beraglecha. Keep your shoes on. So Avel takes them off. Velo sa'ate al safam. Do not cover your mustache. Velechem anoshim lo tochel. Is no Sudas Havra. A Sudas Havra is you dafka eat, you're not allowed to eat your own food that first meal that has to be offered by someone else. Here, you eat your own food when your wife passes away. Fine. So now, says the Gemara, that we learn out from here, Michlal de Kuli Alma Michaive. We learn out that every other Avel has to engage in what? In Atifas Harosh. Atifas Harosh. So let's try to explore this halacha for just a minute. So take a look at page number 6 for a minute, which is Rashi in Masechah Sukkah, commenting on this pasuk in Yecheskel. Dika'omale rachmana, hinini lokeach mimcha es machman einecha b'magefa, Heyonek don mesim evel lo ta'aseh lo tit'abel aleha. Pe'ercha chavosh al roshecha shelo kiderach shara velim. Why? Lefi she'ani oseh otcha ot umofet b'Yisrael. I am making an example out of you for all of Am Yisrael. Shekach asidin lomut meitein. So many people are going to die. And what's going to happen because so many people are going to die? Ein ish mit abel aleihem. You're going to have so many people dying that there's going to be nobody to what? To be misabel. So how was that musar conveyed to the rest of Am Yisrael? That Yechezkel's wife died and nobody is reacting. There are no hesped, there's no mourning, no nothing. This is a warning to Bnei Yisrael that if they don't mend their ways rather quickly, so many people are going to die that there will be nobody available to be menaching them. That's how Rashi explains what was running through HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mind. Yeah, take a look at page number 7. Where it says, "Umasha kosav Rabbeinu b'shem Rav Matisya kosvu haramban b'toyras ha'odam v'kosvu ha'gos maimilus b'perik hei os ayin b'shem sefer ha'mitzvos hilchos ha'velus alatifes ha'rosh avol be'ele ha'malchuyot lo nohagukem." In our communities, we are not noheg to what? To engage in atifes ha'rosh. In fact, I don't know anybody who engages in Atifas HaRosh when they're in Avel. I've never seen it because we don't practice it. In the days of Rishonim, they already said the minhag became not. And you have a cross section. You have the Ramban in Toras HaAdam. You have the Hagos Maimonis. Tosfos in Moed Katan right here will say it as well. But nay, and Tosfos offers the reason, mitnei shemevi lidei schok gadol min hagoyim va'advodum u'shvachot shebeinenu. That's the weirdest explanation I have ever heard in my whole life.
Right.
When we walk in the street on sukkahs carrying that lulav, the goyim look at us like we're a bunch of crazies as well. On Yom Kippur, when we're wearing a beautiful suit and wearing sneakers, Michael Jordan sneakers, they look at us like we're nuts. And that has never, ever led to a practice that we're not going to... Oh, we're going to wear shoes on Yom Kippur. Because why? Because they're going to laugh at us. The goyim are going to laugh at us. And avodim u'shvachos, our own maidservants. So what's going on here? So the Beis Yosef says... V'anu lo ra'inu v'lo shamanu mi shepatar me'atifa me'tanazu. I have never heard that anybody would use this as an excuse to exempt you from what? From a halacha of atifa sarosh. So, Beis Yosef says, I just don't understand why people don't have this particular practice, although he acknowledges that people don't have this particular practice. Don't have this particular practice. So, turn to the Shach, the next page. Says the Shach, V'yesh omrim she'ein no'agim. The Shulchan Aruch says that there are those who say that we don't practice this. And he quotes the same example. M'pnei she'mevi lidei s'choy kadol min ha'otei kacham v'avodim u'shvachah she'b'nei. Miu, says the Shach, yesh linhog be'atifa k'tzas. You should practice it today, and you'll accomplish both things. You'll fulfill the halacha to some extent, and you'll also won't be different. You'll practice what everybody else is doing. Dehainu limshoch hakova lemata lifnei ho'einayim, to wear your hat in a yeshivish way, take the hat and put the brim down that it looks like it's almost covering your eyes, and that is the way you'll have Hatifas Arash. V'chein mashma b'bayis chalish, that's the bach, v'ayin l'kaman simen tuf. So the Shach recommends that you should wear a hat and just keep the brim down, pull it down a little so it covers your eyes, and you have something that might be considered like itul.
Did the Jews in Iraq have any customs when they first came over?
Who knows? Don't know. They have ituf not only during a lot of Iraqi women, wear that just like Arabs do. Says the Meiri on page number 9. Ovel chayev ba'atifas arosh shelo ya'amid lo ya'amod begilui harosh. Why does he have this halach of ituf? So that he has a head covering. Why? Shalomen elo shelo ituf rosho ituf hamechase mikzas hapanim mekineged ho'einayim ulamata keneged ha'safa shehei omeid ke'odam nichna v'nishbar. There are two reasons offered by the Meiri. One is that he should have a head covering, because as you well know, the whole idea of a yarmulke is nothing but midas chassidus, al pidin, you don't require it. In Shulchan Aruch, it says that you should wear a yarmulke only on two occasions. One, when you mazkir Shem Hashem. Two, when you enter the Beit Knesset, you should put on a head covering. In fact, I once mentioned to Rabbi Shechter, he once gave a shir and he said, he was talking about women covering their hair, and he said, of course they have to. And he doesn't understand, though, women who don't cover their hair, but when they come to shul, they wear a hat. What do you accomplish? So I went over to him and said, well, it says in Shulchan Aruch that you're not supposed to enter a shul unless you have head covering. I don't think that halacha only meant for men. It doesn't say v'anashim should cover it. You see, it went like that, like he often does. I don't know. An ovel should. Why do you think the Meiri says an ovel should cover his head? Why do you think he should cover his head, even though the minhag at the time was not to cover their head?
It's a reason to remind, to show that he still has faith in Hashem, even though he did this.
Okay, that's one way of looking at it. Some explain it in a little different fashion, that he should accept the decision of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and not be angry with. So when you cover your head, you're acknowledging that, there, like everybody knows, there's someone above you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is above you. And here, where it is a time when people are very angry at HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's just the opposite, that you want to demonstrate or remind you that you have to accept the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as unpleasant as it might be. A second reason is because apparently it created an image at that time of being a broken person. Nichna, someone who's humbled and a broken person, that's why he should do so. Since HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Yechezkel lo ta'ate al safam, michlal, the inference is the kulei alma chayavim. Everybody else has to engage in ituf. It's not the only thing. We'll learn a couple of other things. We don't practice. We don't have kfiya samita. There are a couple of things. But we don't do. If you took it at the Mukhi Yosef in page number 10, Fatifa Sarosh, he's just oblivious to the Gemara. He writes, Minug Shahayel Hebbi Me Evlon Hayum Misakvid. Somebody developed a minug. And yet the Gemara is pretty clear. It's not a ha-minug. It's a din. It's the same din that we learn out so many other things from Yechezkel. It's not a minug not to wear tefillin the first day. It's a requirement. You're not allowed to wear it because Yechezkel wore tefillin. Here too, there is an obligation of Atifas HaRosh because HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Yechezkel not to engage in Atifas Arosh. So it's somewhat of strange, and there are many Rishayim who try to react. What do you mean? Minuk Shayah? It's like somebody to start a new fad in the time of the Gemara to. You know, it's a very difficult, I don't quite understand what's running through the Namuki Yosef's minds. If you can come up with something, let me know. Let me know. Yeah. Yeah. I'm again biter. Menuda mahu ba'atifa sarosh. Is somebody put into cheirem, is that person obligated to engage in atifa sarosh? Amrav Yosef toshma. The Brisa says, v'hein mis'atfin v'yoshvin kimenudin uke'avelim achirachamu aleya min ha'shamayim. That they are supposed to engage in Atifas Arosh, just as an Ovel does, Achi Rachamu Aleya Min Hashamayim. Amalei Abaye, V'dilma Menuda L'Shamayim Shani. The Chomer. Says Rashi, what does Menuda L'Shamayim mean? Kihani, Shani D'Mechamiri, Olahachi Tzrichi Atifas HaRosh, Aval Acherim Einon Tzrichin Atifas HaRosh. So there are a couple of possibilities. There are some who believe that Menuda L'Shamayim means that somebody was put into cherem because they stated something in public against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the reason why Beis Din put them into Nidoy was to protect Kvod Shamayim. So perhaps, asks Abaye, a regular person put into Nidoy because he didn't pay his taxes or he didn't want to divorce his wife. That type of nidui may not need ituf. But this type of nidui, where the cause of the nidui is something inappropriate directed to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that type of nidui, in order to remind you that that's why the reason you were put into nidui, because you demonstrated disrespect for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, under those circumstances, the ituf would be required. Because there are chamiri. Perhaps Abaye, that's Abaye's point, asking whether or not every single one would require ituf, or perhaps only these. Okay, he doesn't give an answer.
Who's doing the ituf?
Who's doing the ituf? The person put into cheirem.
So this guy has already been, he's Akarusa based in.
Right.
Now we're debating whether this guy is going to follow the halacha of ituf?
No, he dies.
Oh, he dies.
Right.
Okay, what about the...
No, with the Menuda, he's alive.
So he's alive.
Correct.
And his father died.
Not to do it. The Menuda himself, should he be misatev?
Not an Ovel.
Somebody put it to Cherub. Since there are so many other halachos, which somebody who is a Nidui, it follows the status of an Ovel, just as the fact that he can't take a haircut, he can't change his clothing.
So it's not that somebody died, just should he be a Nidui?
Should he be a Nidui? So Abaye says, maybe it's not every single person put into Nidui, it depends why you are put into Nidui. Regular Nidui would not, only Nidui Lashomayim. Somebody put into Cherem because he was, you know, what do we call that? Where you talk
against...
Blasphemy. By blasphemy. Blasphemy against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Correct. Vidiyu.
And obviously, more so.
But?
The Menuda may just say, go, I'm not going to do that anyway.
Yeah, it's possible.
What does the Achirachamu Aleinu Min Hashamayim mean?
that he was put into Nidui because he engaged in blasphemy against HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
Oh, it's like a euphemism for
him? Yes. Asked the Gemara, Mitzora Mahu Ba'atifa Sarosh. Should somebody who is a Mitzora engage in this practice of Atifa Sarosh? Says the Gemara, Tashma Val Safam Ya'ate. Michlal Shechaye Ba'atifa Sarosh. That pasuk is. That it says to do it, to cover it. That's a pasuk in Parshas Sazria. The pasuk says, right, v'hatzarua ashebo hanega begadav yufrumim v'roshoy yufarua v'al safam yate v'tamei tamei ikra. So we know that that person has to engage in a mitzora has to. I've seen many Rishonim ask this question. How can the Gemara ask a question when the pasuk says it black on white? Mat mitzora ma'u. It says black on white. It says al safam yate. When you're dealing with menuda, when you're dealing with avel, I can understand that because you don't have precise guidelines. But by tzorua, it's black on white. That's what the Torah says. What do you mean minayim? So you never have the Gemara never asks a question. How do you know you're supposed to read Kriya Shema? Well, you open up a Chumash and it says V'shach Pachav Kamech V'dibar Tavach. What? Question is when exactly? Me'ein Rosai. The Gemara doesn't ask. How do I know you're supposed to take a lulav? It says in the pasuk L'kach from Lachan by Yom Rishon. So you have details. So it's a very strange question, Mitzora, whether he should be. Of course, it's a pasuk in the Chumash.
Maybe it's just because it's going down the list.
Right, that's what the answer is. It's only Shigra the Lishna. He's just following the pattern. Since we did, that's the answer which they did, precisely.
And now we even have a better source for Avelim to do. You know, we compare Mitzora, we compare Menuda, we compare Avel. Right. They're all in the same category.
Right.
So once you have it in one of them, now you've a stronger source for this Ituf, whatever.
Yes. That's why I said it's hard to understand why. That's why the Rishonim. That's why the Shach said it, the Beis Yosef said it's hard to understand why you don't do it. Hard to understand. Continues the Gemara. Avel asur lahaniach tefillin. Since HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Yecheskel, keep your tefillin on, apparently, everybody else is asur. Everybody else is asur. So the Tosfos HaRosh asks the following question on this Gemara. There is a Gemara in Maseches Brachos on Daf Yud Aleph Omer Aleph, which says that an Ovel is Chayev in all mitzvos of the Torah. In distinguishing between an Onen and an Ovel, an Onen is Patam Mikol HaMitzvos, all mitzvos Haseh, and an Ovel is Chayev. So the Bryce's expression is Ovel Chayev B'chol Mitzvos Shabbat Torah Chutz Min HaTfilin. Why? Shine'emar bohen pe'er. Tefillin are described as pe'er. Ve'eino ra'ui ve'ein pe'er b'makom eifer. It's a play on the words. Eifer with an aleph. Because the Ovel, what does an Ovel do? They used to put ashes on their forehead. So, and in fact, the Rav, that's what Tosfos says in the beginning of on Daf Yud Gimel in Brachos, and the Rav was always knowing that way, that he, to a chassan, he would place ashes on the, not just break the glass, but put ashes on the chassan's head. So the Gemara already has a source why you're not supposed to wear tefillin. Because you're not supposed to put pe'er on the makom where you're putting ashes. So what do you, why is the Gemara big chiddush that what? That an Avil doesn't wear tefillin. We know exactly he doesn't wear tefillin. That's the source. Who needs this?
Maybe tefillin shel yad is also as opposed to just on Torah.
Okay, that's a good question. But the answer to that is that if we have a halacha that if there's no chiyu for tefillin shel rosh, there's no tefillin shel no chiyu tefillin shel yad. Not practically that you can't do it. Somebody has a broken arm up here, he's chayiv in tefillin, but it's practically impossible because there'll be a chatzitza. So he just puts on the tefillin shel rosh and makes both brachos on the tefillin shel rosh. But if there is an exemption for one, it has to be v'hayu l'totafos bein einecha together with ukshatam lios al yadecha and l'totafos bein einecha. So that's what the Tosfos HaRosh asks. He gives a very unusual answer. Very unusual answer. And he says that this ta'am alone would not have been sufficient to exempt an avel from tefillin. The business about putting tefillin, b'makom efer, the pe'er, in a place where ashes are normally, that's not enough to exempt you from the mitzvah of tefillin. Either Gemara says it in Brachas, and that's why you need a formal limud. The way the Gemara reads is, it's like a musad. It's not appropriate to put the tefillin where you're going to have ashes. That's not a basis of a halacha to exempt somebody from the mitzvah of tefillin, from the mitzvah of tefillin. I'm just telling you what he says. It's not the most compelling answer I've ever heard. And that's why you need a formal drash that the reason why you don't wear tefillin is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Yecheskel, keep your tefillin on. Keep your tefillin on.
Where's the source of tefillin? It's called Pe'er?
That's this pasuk. Pe'er cha chavur shalecha. And that's why when you...
How do you know that's tefillin?
That's the drash, what they say. That's why when we say, Oter Yisrael b'sifara, then he touched the tefillin. And on Tisha B'Av, when we don't wear tefillin in the morning, the Rambam Shita is, and many other Rishonim, you skip the bracha of Otei Yisrael b'Sefara because you're not wearing tefillin. It's interesting that everyone accepts that tefillin are only exempt the very first day, and some Rishonim claim it's only an exemption the first day if the Misa and the Kvura took place on the same day. So you were an Onan, then the Kvura took place and it's still light out, so there would be a Chiyuv to wear tefillin. But if the Kvura and the Misa take place on two separate days, many Rishonim say that the Avel wears the first day after the Kvura. Our practice is not like that. Our practice is that every Avel does not wear tefillin the very first day. And as to why it's only the very first day, is because that is the consensus amongst Rishonim, that Avelus is the Da'oraisa din, which would be cancelled out by the mitzvah of tefillin. But the other day, which were only Midrabanan, the Avelus Midrabanan cannot overpower the mitzvah Da'oraisa of wearing tefillin. That's the way most Rishonim accept it.
And the Kippur is the following day?
If the Kippur is the following day, we still do not wear tefillin until the second day of Avelus. Second day of Avelus. But some Rishonim say it has to be the Kippur and the Misa on the same day to garner an exemption for tefillin.
So can you give some... So someone dies on a Sunday and they're buried on a Sunday... So the person doesn't put on tefillin, but on Monday they would.
That's correct.
And that's our minhag also?
That's our minhag.
So if someone dies now on a Shabbos, Kippur is not till Sunday.
They will not wear Sunday.
But everyone will put it on Monday.
So the first everyone day, will put it on Monday.
Okay.
Yes. All right, stop here. Continue next to Vach.